Lunchtime Live with Kira Kelly on News Talk.
Do you think that post offices should get government support to stay open? Because almost 9 out of 10 people say that that's what they do want to see happen. They want to see financial support keeping the post offices open. 86% of people also said they want more state services processed in their local post offices, according to a new survey carried out by Red Sea. So how important is your local post office to you? Do you visit it regularly, often, occasionally? Ever? And do you think that they should get state funding? Because there is a view that in addition to, you know, posting letters or parcels or the sort of standard things that people do in post offices, that they have a social value, that people go there and it's a focus for maybe collecting your pension or what have you. But then from there, you go to the local shop or you go to the local coffee shop and all that kind of stuff. So how important are they, do you believe? 53106. And to discuss this, I'm joined now by Seamus Boland, who is the CEO of Irish Rural Link. Seamus, you're very important. Seamus, you're very welcome. You are also very important.
I'm not important, but thank you for having me.
Well, I'm delighted. You weren't expecting that welcome, Seamus.
But
tell me this. 9 out of 10 people say they want to see the post offices kept open, irrespective of if there's a cost involved in that. Yet I hear today people giving out about the price of stamps. Is there a bit of a contradiction there?
When you're talking about post office, Kira, there's contradictions left, right and centre. The reality is that there's around 952 post offices, I think, in the country. And the reality linked to that is, of course, less than half of those would be seen as purely commercial. And I suppose by rising the price of stamps on post are trying to effectively deal or give shape to the ones that are not commercial and try and bring up them and their turnover, while the ones that are commercial probably don't need the price at all. So you have that contradiction the whole way going along. But like we could go on all day, the contradictions of people wanting to support the post office and on the other hand, not using it a lot is also a major contradiction. So
okay.
We could keep that one going for a while.
The support for the post offices was strongest among, that's probably not surprising, older people and people outside of Dublin. I think we would have predicted that. But is there a genuine value in the post office in local communities in rural Ireland that perhaps people who are in an urban setting can't appreciate?
Oh, there is, Kira. And I would argue that in some urban settings, it's equally valuable, especially there are urban settings, believe it or not, where post offices are trying to struggle as well. But yes, largely they are connected with the rural narrative. They are hugely important because really you're talking about people who live long distances from towns and villages, even certainly larger towns. And if you take the post office out of usually in the smaller village or town, you are effectively taking that connection. And remember, people who use the post office, is not the majority like this, who need support, are trying to sort out sometimes social welfare problems, sometimes issues relating to their TV license, something that they're entitled to or they're not. And often they take the time of the poor postmaster or postmistress in terms of resolving that. So it's a social gathering. It's helping them to sort out what they're entitled to. There's a range of public service services that are provided, often voluntarily by the post office. And I think that's what this survey is showing, that there is a requirement to subsidise that kind of work.
Well, there's savings accounts, isn't there? And there's passport services. And there's all sorts of add-ons to just, you know, putting a letter in the post.
Absolutely. I mean, as I said, it's nearer to, in these times when we're trying to cut down emissions, it's a shorter journey to get there, and the post office can provide these services. And I think the challenge, of course, from a post perspective is they need each unit to be making a profit. Unfortunately, each unit is probably never going to make a profit given the location, given the number of people who use it, etc. But this is where I think we have to look at what is a public service and define that. And I think in this case, there is a strong argument for at least half the numbers in the network to really examine their role. I don't think it should be just funding in order to keep them going as they are. I think they really do need to have a look at what kind of a service they're going to be provided. And it will be different, I think, because, frankly, not everybody is using it. Not everybody is posting their letters there and they're passing it by.
Well, I suppose, you know, a lot of people will err on what's more convenient, and an email. Email. Yeah. I don't think I've said it that way before, but you know, the alternative to land, yeah, mail or snail mail or whatever you want to call it, yeah, is used by people constantly in a way that I think will never go backwards. Now I think that will never change. But you wouldn't have to be a cynic to think. I mean, OnPost is doing okay because online shopping has driven a huge part of their business model. Would you say that it's not a case of them really? That what they're really looking to do by getting rid of post offices is increase their profits rather than cut their losses, because they aren't making a loss.
That's the problem, Ciara. They are, but of course they're obligated to make a profit, and as much profit as they can, unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on which business perspective you come from. But yes, they are. They're doing well in certain sections, and the question that they will never answer is, can they subsidise other sections that are not doing so well? Now, that might mean a change in the legislation that governs them, but it certainly challenges them, the government and us all, around what we define as a public service offering. And unfortunately, sometimes semi-states or that kind of body take the view that we must make a profit first and foremost, and after that, the hell with it, the rest. But if that means changing the remit of the post office, maybe that's one way out of it. But one way or another, we can't afford to let any more post offices close.
All right. Look, thank you for that indeed, Seamus. That is Seamus Boland, their CEO of Irish Rural Link. What do you think? Like, OnPost is making money, and that is largely driven by the expansion of online shopping. But so this is about profit maximisation. It's not like an ailing, you know, industry that is struggling on all fronts. The post office network, a bit like the banking network, is an expensive part of it. But are we a society or are we an economy? Isn't it? Doesn't it boil down to that all the time? 53106, what would you like to see happen? And also, when you think about the cost of a stamp, people are complaining. It's 110 now for national post and 180 for international post. 180, if you were trying to courier a letter to Australia, I don't even know what that would cost. But equally, if you're trying to courier something across Dublin, it would cost you, I don't know, 50 quid, 40 quid, something like that. So there is, like, if we're comparing it to email, which is free, yes, perhaps a letter is expensive. But if we're comparing it to other ways of getting documents from A to B, it's still fairly cheap, no? 53106, let me know what you think. Loads more coming up on Lunchtime Live. Let's take a break.
Lunchtime Live with Ciara Kelly on News Talk.
Now, we have been talking about whether or not we should subsidise post offices around the country. And Seamus is on the line. Seamus, you are the joint chair of the Public Banking Forum of Ireland, and you got in touch with us. What do you make of the idea of us subsidising post offices?
That's right. Well, good afternoon, Ciara. Thanks for having me on. I've seen the Red Sea poll and we've discussed it among ourselves, and obviously we agree with the sentiment of it. But there's a huge issue here with the post offices that nobody seems to want to address. And it's a huge opportunity for Ireland. And that is that the business model of the post offices is wrong. It doesn't have to lose money. Post offices do not have to continually need to be subsidised, nor do they need the public service obligation. If you go to New Zealand had this exact problem with their post offices back in the late 90s. And in 2002, the New Zealand government converted the New Zealand post offices into the Kiwi Bank, and they created a bank. Now, that happens to be very much in line with what the Troika ordered. It was a precondition of the bailout that Ireland introduced competition into the banking and mortgage market. And also, if you look at our constitution, the Irish constitution, Article 45, 2.4 states, in what pertains to the control of credit, the constant and predominant aim shall be the welfare of the people as a whole. Now, the Kiwi Bank in New Zealand has now reached over 20% of the market, and it makes profits of over 100 million New Zealand dollars per year. So
so that's the bank the state making that money. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah,
it's I like it greatly.
Yeah. But we need, like, we have a huge gap in the market for lending. And what lending is available in Ireland is unaffordable if you compare it with rates in France and Germany.
And Seamus, you obviously you obviously know stuff about this because you're involved in banking. What is the barrier, or what is the reason, do you believe, that the government isn't doing what sounds like a no-brainer?
Well, I'll tell you now in two words, it's political capture. We believe, and we have studied the credit unions, the post offices, and we've studied public and community banking, and indeed the pillar banks in Ireland. And we have made several proposals to government, but they simply won't entertain
competition. You'll have to forgive me. What do you mean by political capture? Do you mean the banks have captured our politicians?
Exactly, yeah. I mean, they call it, in effect, around the world, they call it legal corruption and say it takes many forms, including
so
cronyism, patronage.
Legal corruption meaning that there's a fondness or an undue affection towards our pillar banks, not actual corruption. I see what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah, no, it's not corruption as such, but it's a term. Now, it's when powerful groups manipulate policy formation to serve their own interests rather than the public interest. So we have a situation where the pillar banks have 95% of the market in Ireland, and the credit unions are being squeezed with restrictions, and the post offices aren't in the banking market. But funny enough, Unpost is saying that they're going to go into banking, but what they're actually talking about is agency banking. So you will be able to get perhaps a Bank of Santander mortgage through a post office, or an AIB car loan through a post office. But that's actually sucking the profit out of the communities and into the hands of the corporations.
I do like what you're saying. I'm afraid we're out of time, but I do like what you're saying, Seamus. There's a lot in it, but we may come back to that again. It's a very interesting proposal. Thank you for that indeed, and for getting in touch. 53106, you heard what Seamus said. They do it in New Zealand. They've turned their post offices into a national bank. Would you like to see that? The Irish Bank, which is run from the post office, the profits go back to the state, and competition to AIB and Bank of Ireland. Good enough for them. 53106, let me know what you think.
Lunchtime Live with Kira Kelly on News Talk.